Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is November 13th, 2019. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. It is Wednesday, not Friday, and we're here for a podcast.
Yes, we are.
I'm joined by Kevin Combs, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. And we want to talk about sugar today because a lot happened yesterday. My feathers were ruffaloed.
Your feathers were ruffled. Oh, my goodness. Well, there's certainly a lot going on in sugar, and it's not just yesterday. It goes back really going back to October.
Yes,
start of October, maybe even in September when you look at the weather.
Yep, absolutely. So, Kevin, what are we talking about? Why are we on a podcast on a Wednesday to talk about sugar? What's going on?
You know, we've had a lot of concern over the weather throughout the harvest cycle, and things were looking pretty darn pessimistic, you know. Initially, we're just looking at lower sugar content, but, you know, a lot of that moisture was sucking up. So the tons per acre and the beets were looking a little bit better, offsetting some of that losses. But we're going, oh, this is less than ideal. Crops are going to be smaller. But what we didn't think about was how many acres were going to be abandoned. Certainly, we saw the potential for, you know, record levels of abandonment on acreage, and we kind of were expecting that to come into play for the November WASDE, but as we got closer and closer, the weather just never let up in the Red River Valley.
Well, in the past, you said, you know, the beets will figure it out. Even if we've had late plantings in this, all of a sudden, near the end of that crop, we end up making up the difference. And in the past, that Thor-style GMO beet would overcome, and we'd get those numbers. But this is a different year, isn't it?
It's a very different year. So when I've looked back at my 20 years in the business, we are 20 generally
years.
20 years. Oh, holy cow.
You're I'm old.
Yes. When I've looked at it, generally when we're talking about acres being abandoned or not harvested, we're talking a few thousand acres here or there. And when you're talking about nearly 1.2 million acres planted, it's pretty small. It may hit, you know, some of the smaller mills on occasion. It could be a decent part of their business. But, you know, when you look at American Crystal, for instance, they planted 395,000 acres this year.
Okay.
And they're probably not going to harvest around 135,000 acres.
Holy acres.
That's a very large percentage. They got less than 70% harvested this year. So huge portion of their business did not get harvested. And then the sister cooperative, also marketed by United, came in with probably about 17,500 acres not harvested. Still waiting for some final numbers there to get a better idea. But they also had to halt their production because of all the rain and now snow and then freezing temperatures where it's getting down into the teens night after night. And the co-ops don't like to receive frozen beets at the plant. They just can't really deal with them. So, and
got it.
Bad year is the best way of putting it. And this is unprecedented.
Yep. And so I guess what does it mean for the numbers?
The numbers, Mike.
Well, the specifically
overall production?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the USDA tried to get pretty aggressive on taking this account. But when they gave out their estimate for on the 8th for the WASDE numbers, the cooperatives were all still trying to push through and harvest as many beets as possible. So I know they weren't able to take all of this acreage in decline as both American Crystal and MINDAC have halted operations. So I think between that and then looking at potential higher discard levels, lower sugar content as a result of all the cold weather, not only in the Red River Valley, but in the plains as well, they've been struggling a lot too. We're probably needed to go down as much as 200,000 tons additional on the beet crop. So we could be looking at 4.388 million tons versus, you know, an optimistic crop at the beginning of the year. People are probably talking with additional 15,000 acres being planted. We could be looking at a, you know, a 5.25. If everything went well, you know, a 5.3 million tons. Well, we saw right away it wasn't going to go well because we got planted late, but still, you still thought 5.1 was going to be a reasonable crop that was attainable with a good harvest. And, you know, some of these growers that we're talking about that were unable to harvest, when you got to September, they were looking at things like, we got a pretty darn good crop.
Yeah.
But
great. Well, we wanted to get the news out to everybody. And for those that are IQ subscribers, go ahead and shift over to the IQ platform right now, because we're going to go in depth on what this actually means moving forward in many different directions. So, Kevin, thank you so much for joining the pod today. And I won't leave it with any terrible jokes, but
don't add bad jokes to a bad situation. I know. Mike. That would be really nice.
I'm sorry. But anyway, everyone, until our next podcast, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every moment with your family and friends. And until next podcast, take care, everybody. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.